So share with someone next week that if you come and change your direction, you can change your future. And Ruth is an amazing story. So we'll talk about the restorative processes of God in spite of where we come from. Not as much as important about where you come from as it is to where you are going. And Jesus makes all the difference, right? This morning, I'm going to share with you a little video testimony in a little while of a healing that took place while we were in Brazil. A supernatural healing. We saw many healings. I think I counted, Tina and I together prayed for somewhere between 400 and 500 people in 6 days. And there was a lot of prayer going on. We prayed for 3 to 4 hours, actually 6 to 8 hours a day for people. They worked us pretty hard. And we saw some supernatural things take place, and one of them is in a church that we were in one night. It was in the jungle, actually. You had to kind of walk through a field to get to, and kind of had a canvas tent top. The zeal of the Lord was there, no doubt. Love of Jesus was there. And we had a great meeting, prayed for people, saw a lot of good things happen. The next night, one of our team, this gentleman's name is Shahir. He's a converted Muslim who lives in Egypt, who only 6 months earlier converted to Christ and came on this missions trip because he wanted to learn about healing. Now, that'll rock your socks, won't it? And he's telling us about the persecution he faces and some of the things he does. But anyway, he went back to this church. He felt drawn to do it. And the pastor continued in the meetings as a result of us being there. And they were praying for the sick. And this is the video we're going to show you in a little bit of what happened in one of those prayer times. It's only a minute and 46 seconds. And I want you to prepare your heart. I'm telling you about it because I don't want you to think that I'm showing you this to try to convince you that God heals. That's not why I'm showing it to you. I'm showing it to you because it is a descript proof that God loves. We don't pray for the sick because we want people to know how anointed we are. And we're not theatrics. We're not going to do our theatrics and do all the stylistic things that we've learned in the past, but rather we're just communicating God's love. And if you're here today hurting emotionally, you're challenged with some future decisions, maybe pain in your body, I want to tell you, God loves you, and He hasn't forgotten about you. And I like what Pastor Troy said, sometimes these long-standing situations start to convince us that there's something wrong with us. And I get that. But I want to share with you this morning a little message first before I do the testimony, okay? All right, great. So are you doing okay?
Yes.
All right, well, I'm glad you're here. I guess it's springtime now, right? I woke up and it said 44. And I thought, let's see, am I still on vacation or what? Because there were days when we were in Florida and it was only 44 in the morning. It was really kind of cold weather. I know you don't feel bad for me, though, but that's okay. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. If you have your Bible, I want you to follow along. I'm going to teach just a little bit to help you understand the power of the cross. Oh, we need we got the backlight on. We need the center light. If somebody can do the center light on, people can't see their Bibles. The backlight is good for the people in the back. But if you could turn the back one off, turn the center one on, I think that'll be enough. Thank you. But Revelation 19:10, or you can read it on the screen. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I'm your fellow servant." That right there, it's not part of my message, but we've got to readjust our thinking in celebrity Christians. You know, don't be so enamored by some people just because they've achieved great feats. It's okay, to honor them. We need to honor everybody, but anyway, don't fell at his feet to worship him. And he said, don't do that. I'm your fellow servant, an angel, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. So they possess something. He said, I'm just like you, and I possess what you possess. I possess the testimony of Jesus. Everybody say that. I possess the testimony of Jesus. That's what he said. Then he said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, how many have ever read that verse and went, huh? I mean, I've done that. I've looked at that verse. So this particular verse, however, is very interesting in the Greek. Let's go to the word testimony. The word testimony comes from a Greek word, maturia. Maturia. And it actually comes from the Greek word martus. The Greek word martus is the root word of maturia, which is translated testimony. So testimony, maturia, comes from the root word martus, which means, what does that sound like to you? Martyr. Comes from the word martyr. So if we begin to understand this, we say, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the martyrdom of Jesus, or the death of Jesus. A martyr is someone who's been killed, someone that died. Worship God, for the martyrdom or the death of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. However, that's from the root word of which testimony comes from. So they're related in the Greek. However, in this particular translation, it means, matura means this, evidence, the evidence presented, the record, the report, or the witness. So if you're ever in a trial and people give testimony, they're giving evidence or the record, they're giving the report or the witness of what happened. That's what a testimony is. However, it takes us one step further, because this word matura comes from the root word matura, which means martyr. So when you begin to understand it and put it together, we see that the martyrdom or the death of Jesus is the evidence, the record, and the report, and the witness of who he is. Now that's significant, because Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. And we cannot minimize that. We can't redefine that. You can't let go of that. This is a central truth of our faith. It is the redemptive work of Christ, the martyrdom, the death. It is the witness. It is the testimony of Jesus. Now, I want to show you something, why the testimony of Jesus becomes the object of the scorn of the devil. How many know that the devil needs to discredit the testimony of Jesus? Right? For example, you might be here today or watching thinking God could never save me because I'm just too bad. I've done too many negative things. I've made too many wrong choices in my life. So the enemy is going to try his very best to convince you that the testimony of Jesus that says the blood can cleanse all sin can't cleanse yours. And his object is the testimony of Jesus. Let me show you this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And I'm taking my time because I want you to kind of get this in your heart. And it's important. I'll tell you why in a minute. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Now, I'm not a prophecy scholar. I've taught on the book of Revelation. And there's so many interpretations out there about Revelation. But the dragon being the enemy, the devil, the Antichrist, the devil himself, is enraged with the woman Israel, the redeemed. Some would argue that it's not the church, but I would contend that it's those that have been redeemed. So the dragon, the devil, was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. Now, he didn't just make war with any of the offspring. He made war specifically with the offspring. Read the rest of the scripture with me. Can we do it together, please? Let's read it. Who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now that's very critical. The devil is going to put a bullseye on anyone who is obedient to God's word. How many have ever experienced that when you started pressing in with God and really giving your life to Him, that things got worse? Think, God, what's going on here? Here, I'm trying to serve you. And not, I mean, everything's falling apart around me. I was better off before I went to church. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever experienced that? Of course. Well, he makes war against those who keep the commands of God and have the testimony of Jesus. So, if I possess the testimony of Jesus, I'm saying I possess the record and the witness of the martyrdom of Jesus. Now, when you think about the death of Jesus, what is it that testifies? All right. Look at this. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But, the old song, he was wounded for our transgressions. I remember that. You know, as a young Christian, and when they prayed for the sick in our church, someone would often sing that song. And I thought, well, now why are they singing that song? But I understand now they are presenting the testimony to the resistance of truth in the life of that person so as to build faith. So, he was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So the question now comes to mind, if the martyrdom of Jesus is under the attack of the enemy, and he wants to discredit the testimony, then he is going to do his very best to say, you cannot be saved because you're too far gone. But, according to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, we also believe that in the atonement is our healing. We also believe that in the atonement is our deliverance. Now, God showed me this morning as I was praying that there will be somebody in church, I don't know if it's this location or the other, that will actually come to church this morning high. But not on alcohol, it'll be some kind of a drug. I'm not sure if it was a heroin or what it was, but they would be in the service and they would be high. And I said, well, that's okay, because Jesus' testimony, his record is greater than that addiction. Right? And so if we give the testimony, then it can give deliverance to that one who's under the addiction of whatever kind of drug, right? Okay, that's pretty powerful when you think about it. If you go to Psalm 78, let's look at a couple of other scriptures. Now, if I was the devil, which I have kind of acted out a little bit like him over the years, but I'm not the devil. Some people say I am. Oh, well, not even said I'm devil, but they say I'm evil. Or I'm a heretic. Because I believe the Bible. I believe in a virgin birth, you know. People say, well, that's symbolic. I believe Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection can save, heal, and deliver. Now, if The testimony of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the atonement. By the way, you really don't have a deliverance ministry because you pray for people that are oppressed of the devil. You really don't have a healing ministry if you pray for people that are sick. You really don't have an evangelistic ministry if you just pray and for people who need to be saved. You have an atonement ministry. You understand? All of that, with our sanctification, was paid for at the cross. And you know, it's interesting, Hebrews says, and we'll get to this in a minute, the blood still speaks. Is that you know, that's wild to me that 2,000 years ago, Jesus bled and died, and His blood is as fresh today, as active today as it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, that's incredible to me. And His blood speaks, not guilty. Because the blood's always applied on the mercy seat. God's mercy is here for you today. You might have messed up 1,000 times, but guess what? Mercy. They're new every morning. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the mornings. Especially if I have a bad day. I'm like, Lord, I need a new morning. Because I know the new morning is going to bring me new mercy, right? All right, Psalm 78. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now, notice something about these guys. They were armed, carrying bows. That means they were trained, they were equipped, they were empowered. But when it came to the battle, they turned back. In other words, they were defeated. And the Lord really spoke to me. He said, you know, in the generation of the church today, we have a lot of people that are equipped. They've been through, you know, the spiritual law teaching. They've been through Bible school training. They've gone to Sunday school. They're equipped. They've been empowered. But in the day of battle, they turn back. They are defeated. Their marriages are still in trouble. They're having trouble with addictions. They're not able to overcome. They still have unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart. And I'm like, God, what's going on here? You know. So let's look at the next verse. So they were armed and carrying bows, but they turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in His law. Now we're beginning to understand the empowerment. Even though you're equipped and have knowledge, the empowerment is not necessarily in the equipping, the learning, or the knowledge. Where is it at? In keeping the commandment of God and walking in His law. Now we're seeing, okay, so if I keep the testimony, if I keep the covenant, that's really where the empowerment is. Because my learning, my knowledge only puffs up. Let me just make a statement here. You may be in the church for 40 years, know the Bible backwards and forward. If you do not keep the testimony, you still are not empowered. Because it's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Really, we have no authority to heal, to win people to Christ. We have no power in ourselves other than keeping His testimony, His death, burial, and resurrection. If Christ is in you, it's the hope of glory, right? All right, not the knowledge of Christ in you. All right? So look at the next verse. And forgot His works and wonders that He had shown them. So now, further, the Scripture explains, they forgot His works, they forgot the wonders that He had shown them. In other words, the evidence of the testimony. Presenting the evidence. What were those evidences? Signs, wonders. What were they? If you continue to read in that chapter, you'll find the mighty things God did, like divided the sea. I think that was pretty cool. Led Him with a cloud by day, fire by night. I think that was pretty awesome. He actually split rocks. I mean, this is as if you believe the Bible. Okay, some folks don't believe the Bible today. Or they believe parts of the Bible. Okay, I was in a meeting Thursday, and the old preacher, I loved what he had to say. He sang a song. He said, putting all my chips in the middle of the table, putting all my chips in the middle of the table, putting all my chips in the middle of the table. I'm betting on God. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. He gave us a modern definition of what revival is. He said, Paul and Silas were in the jail at midnight, talking, you know, something. He said, and they looked at one another and said, we're putting all our chips in the middle of it, because we're betting on God. Well, that was a powerful sermon. That was a powerful song. You know, I have to ask you, what are you holding back? If you've got a good hand, you ever play poker? Don't admit it. You know, years ago, we couldn't even touch cards. You got a deck of cards in your house, you're going to hell. Some of you don't remember those days. But if you got a good hand, like if you have a, I don't know what you call it, like a straight something, flush or whatever it is, that's all the same brand or something, what do you call it, same suit, same color, and it's like successive in number, like 9, 10, 11, 12. That's pretty powerful. If you've got that in your hand, you're going to get all your chips and put them in the middle. If you keep the testimony of Jesus, keep His law, walk in His commandments, you're going to put all your chips in the middle of the table. But if you feel like God's dealt you an inferior hand, or you look at the Word as only part and parcel, you're going to hold back. And how many know the kingdom needs all of our hearts? Didn't Jesus say to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, then your neighbor as yourself? So it's a very powerful truth. Here, Ephraim was defeated because they forgot his works. They kept some of the chips on the edge of the table. Keeping the testimony preserves the record of what God's done. Listen to this. Keeping the testimony preserves the record of what God has done so as to create expectation or hope in the present of what He will do again. Now I want you to read that again because this is important. If you leave that up, if you go back to Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus, the martyrdom, the record and the witness of Jesus' death is what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus is the Holy Spirit's action to do it again. That's why I'm convinced this morning that people will be saved in this meeting if you'll give all your chips in the middle of the table. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to walk out of this room confused, addicted. You don't have to leave here in that condition, bound. You don't have to continue to believe that God doesn't care about you because you're infirmed or sick. Listen, I understand God doesn't save everybody. I don't know why. I preach the gospel, but I've had a lot of people walk out on me and never give their life to Christ. I can't explain that. It's a mystery. I have to say this. I've prayed for hundreds of people. In my life, thousands of people. And there's many people that have never got healed. I don't understand that. It's a mystery to me. I've prayed for people that were bound with alcohol and just suddenly sobered up. I'll never forget, 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I won't go back to that story because I don't have time. I was summoned to a house, an alcoholic husband. And he pulled a gun on me and said, if you come in this door, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm like, okay, I'm not coming in. I'll stay right here. But God sobered up alcoholic people. But I remember doing a funeral for a woman who could not be set free from alcohol. I don't understand that. It's a mystery to me. But I know that the testimony of Jesus is true. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus about all them things. But I leave them in His hands because He is a sovereign God. Right? But I'm still going to declare His testimony. Okay? So here we go. Uh, Psalm 78, verses 40 to 43. And I'm being methodical about this because I could preach this real fast, hot and furious, and you might get excited about it, but you won't remember. And you need to remember this. This is a very critical teaching if we're going to bring revival to Northeastern Ohio. Because it's not by us. It's not by our lights and our building. It's not by anything we have to offer. It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about Jesus. Say that with me. Come on. It's all about Jesus. All right. Psalm 78, verse 40. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Now, why did they provoke God in the wilderness? Why did they grieve him in the desert? Well, we know in 2 Corinthians 10, it tells us they grumbled, they complained, they did a lot of stuff. But notice this. Yes, again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. I thought, Lord, that grieved you when they limited you. That grieved you. When we limit God in His ability to do what He said He would do, it grieves Him. How do we know that? 3 days out of Egypt. We want to go back and get some cucumbers. And that grieved God. He said, you don't think I can give you cucumbers? Well, we don't have any water to drink. Can't believe it. Bring us out in this desert to die. God said, I'm going to whip you right now. Are you making me so mad? Moses said, God, don't do it. And so what did they do? They threw the tree into the bitter waters of Marah, made the water sweet. God said, you know, it hurts me when you don't believe I can't take care of you. I'll take care of you. He even said in the New Testament, he said, look at the birds of the air. The fowls of the air. They neither spin nor toil. They don't build barns. They don't have a job. They don't clock in, clock out. But not one of them goes hungry. How much more will your Father in heaven minister to you? So we don't want to tempt the Lord God, right? With pride, thinking we have a better solution than God does. We want to put all our chips in the middle of the table, right? We want to get in. We want all in. They did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the enemy, when He worked the signs in Egypt and His wonders in the field of Zoan. So what they did is they forgot God's grace. Why? Because the testimony of Jesus is the object of the attack of the devil. He's going to say, you can't be saved because you're too far gone. You can't be healed because it's not for today. You can't be delivered because your father was an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. Your son will be an alcoholic. And you've had alcoholism in your family for generations. You can't be delivered. It is the attack toward the testimony that Jesus said, you can be saved, you can be delivered, and you can be healed. So whose report? Whose report am I going to believe? See, I have to uphold the testimony of Jesus. I want to possess the testimony of Jesus, knowing that I'm going to come under attack. Look at Deuteronomy 6:17. I'm almost done. Deuteronomy 6:17. You shall diligently... Let's read it together. You want to? Come on. All right, let's read it. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God. Now, the word keep is an interesting word. It means to preserve. It means to protect. It means to watch over. It's similar in the Garden of the Eden when God placed Adam in the garden to tend and to keep the garden. He said, I want you to protect, preserve, and watch that this environment is not penetrated by an enemy. So now, He said, you shall diligently watch and preserve the commandments of the Lord and His testimonies, which is the testimony of Jesus, and His statutes, which is His principles of life, the Zoe life, which He's commanded you. So He tells us three things a writer gave me insight to. Number one, God's commandments will always teach you how to live. If you're in marital strife today, you are not diligently keeping the commandments. Don't be mad. Because His commandments teach us how to be married. Follow what I'm saying? It can be applied in every part of our life. Okay. He said, I want you to keep my commandments. And then the writer said, keep His statutes. While His commandments tell us how to live, His statutes tell us how to think. His statutes are His principles. So I need to think like God thinks. That's what Romans 12 said. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Think the way God thinks. Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So it's very important that we keep His commandments, teach us how to live. His statutes teach us what to think, but also His testimonies. What does that mean? Well, the commandments how to live and the statutes how to think, His testimonies tell us what to expect. Why is expectation important, church? Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things expected. Faith is what you are expecting. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, things not seen. So I have expectation based on the testimony of Jesus. So what's my expectation? Back on the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. See? Now listen, if I'm sitting in darkness all around me and I'm under attack, if I keep His testimony, I have the expectation that darkness cannot comprehend light. And I'm going to rise and shine, for the light has come. This darkness has to go. Why? Because my testimony of Jesus is my expectation in my present circumstance. You follow what I'm saying? So I'm going to keep God's command. I'm going to think in the statutes. And I'm going to expect what He has died for. Casual Christianity is no Christianity at all. You and I have got to put our chips. All right, if this Bible's a good hand, if you've got a straight flush, royal flush, whatever it is, or what's the highest thing you can get? Is that it? Anybody know? Royal flush. If you believe the Bible is a royal flush, put your chips in the middle of the table. Like Kenny says, you got to know when to fold them. Know when to hold them. Look, if I got a royal flush, I'm going to put a smile on my face and say, you're about to lose. If you only knew what I know, if you only could see what I see. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Last week we ministered to brokenhearted people. And testimonies are coming in from everywhere, people who were touched and wept and healed over the Father's love. One lady said to me, you know, that's a great sermon, but my father I didn't have a problem with. It was my mother. And I said, well, you missed the point. I said an orphan is anybody who had lacked parental care. Mother and father apply. But I'll do a follow-up part two and we'll deal with the moms. Well, the father affirms and accepts and awards. A mother nurtures, cares, provides that tenderness. And when that's missing, the devil likes to come in there and just rip stuff up. So we'll get back there. But listen, proclaim liberty to the captives and opening the prison to those who are bound. Now I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to show you the video. He mentions captives and he mentions prisoners. What's the difference? I want you to think about this with me. Jesus was anointed to set prisoners free and to set captives free. Okay, here it is. Simple. A prisoner is behind bars for something they had done. A captive is behind bars for something that was done to them. There are captives in this room that haven't done anything wrong in life. But you have had injustice served to you time and time again. And that is captivating you in that place of pain and hurt. How do you become free as a prisoner? You ask God for forgiveness for what you've done. How do you become free as a captive? You ask God to empower you to forgive them who did that to you. But forgiveness is the key to both places of liberty. And forgiveness can be found nowhere else but in the martyrdom of Jesus. When he hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and hell, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He has empowered you to forgive that abusive father who has held you captive. Forgive yourself for the wrongs you committed that has held you prisoner. It is the power of the testimony of Jesus Christ. What I'm about to show you in a minute is a power of a testimony of the cross. And it speaks. Hebrews 12 said the blood still speaks. And what Jesus did for this woman in Brazil, he'll do for you. And I'm going to ask my friend Jeff to come and just give a testimony of Jesus. Jeff, would you come and share what's happened in your life? And if you give him a microphone, that'd be awesome. Because I don't have one up here. This is Jeff Lind. Everybody welcome Jeff. Say, "Hey Jeff, how are you?" So tell the folks, a couple minutes, what happened?
Basically, back in 1985, I was stricken with migraine headaches. That's the first I can remember. And I'm a crier like Pastor Tina and Pastor Louis, so yeah. Bear with me. I remember to the point where I could not even function on a daily basis when I had these migraine headaches. They used to strike me down once, twice, three times a week for 2 to 3 days at a time. By prayer, by faith, first it was me trying to deal with it, and I had to be, it was about me. It was my pride. I wasn't going to let anybody know that this was bothering me, or that this was happening to me other than my immediate family, because I didn't want anybody to feel sorry for me. But then through prayer of Pastor Jim, Pastor Louie, friends, couples that are here that I'm associated with in the couples gatherings, they all prayed for me. I mean, I was to the point where I wanted to just quit and give up. I told God, "Take me one night. I can't deal with this." But by his glory, I have been healed for 3 months. I was on disability. I was on VA disability. I had to go through vocational rehabilitation to be able to do what I do today. And I still dealt with those migraines until 3 months ago. And by God's glory, I have not even had a headache. Not a headache in those 3 months.
Thank you. You can take that with you. Thanks. I would say that the testimony of Jesus is pretty powerful, isn't it? And when he testifies of that, he gives more glory to God. Because he knows, I didn't do it, Pastor Jim didn't do it, Prayer partners didn't do it. Jesus did it. But we, who prayed with him, put all our chips in the middle of the table. We said, no, you know what? Jesus deserves the reward for his suffering. We're going to pray. Now, there's nothing more difficult after you've had the thrill of victory to walk through the agony of defeat. That's what makes this so difficult, because when you see 26 years of migraine headaches that really were just debilitating, just non-functional, and then healed, and then another person still having them, you cannot forget in the middle of the battle, Ephraim, armed with bows, armed with all the empowerment, but in the day of battle turned back. Why? They forgot the commandments of God, and then they forgot the testimony. Don't let go of the testimony. If you can prepare, if you have small children, you don't want them to see this. Basically, a skull opens up and a tumor falls out. So if that bothers anybody, just turn your kids' face away. It's not gross. It doesn't bleed or anything. And are you ready back there? Let's put the lights down, turn it up so they can hear. There's a lot of praying, but it's in Portuguese. So don't, all you're going to hear is hallelujah. You'll get that. Because hallelujah is the same in Portuguese as it is in English, all right? You guys want to speak Portuguese this morning? Say hallelujah. You just did. Okay, there you go. All right, let's put it on. Can we get that testimony? Turn the lights down. Now they're pouring oil on her head. You know, they said they anoint him with oil. They really do it. I guess I'm looking at these lights up here now. Watch closely, you'll begin to see a white mass come through the skull. It's ultimately going to fall right into the handkerchief. Shahir from Egypt. Now what you'll notice, you can turn it down. After that great miracle, they're like, okay, who's next? Who else needs prayer? And the pastor goes down and prays for everybody else. I'm like, wait a minute, if that was me, I'd be like, okay, service is over. You know what I've got in my hand here? I don't know what that thing is, but we need to get something to figure out that out. This is crazy. But they just went and prayed for the next person. And I don't know if you could see it that well. I'll try to get it posted on our website so you could take a look at it a little more. But probably one of the most significant of that type of healings. But we had people with a metal plate in his wrist that could not move his wrist up. And then prayed for him. I didn't pray for him. Somebody else did. He was able to move his wrist. I don't know if God took the metal out or just turned it into rubber. I have no idea what he did. But he was able to move his wrist. And the other day I was preaching at Greg Ball's at Destiny Church in Florida. Yeah, that's where it's at. And I had a 90-year-old man come up to me and he said, can you pray for me at the end of the service? And I ministered on, I don't know what I ministered on. Oh, I ministered on the donkey. That we're just donkeys bringing Jesus into his place. And He walked up to me and said, "Can you pray for me?" I said, "Sure. What do you need?" And I have to tell you, I didn't have great faith. At 90 years old, he probably needed a lot. But he said, "I have macular degeneration of the eye, and I want to be able to see." And I was thankful I didn't know what macular degeneration was entirely. I knew it was a real problem, but it's incurable. I found out later. But that's good I didn't know that. Because he's already 90, and I'm saying, "Okay, God, you know you got to do this, because I got like this much faith." So I said, "Can I put my thumbs on your eyes?" And I put them on his eyeballs, and I prayed. I said, "Well," I said, "tell me, can you see any better?" He looked at me, and he said, "Well, I think I could see a little better." I said, "Well, that's not good enough." I said, "Either you can or you can't." I said, "Let's pray again." "Can I pray again?" "Yeah." So I prayed again. And I said, "Look at me." I said, "Can you see better?" He goes, "Man, I can see you." I said, "Awesome." So I stepped back like this, and like that telephone commercial. I said, "Can you see me now?" He said, "Yeah, I can see you." And he turned around and he said, "Thanks, bub." And he walked away. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And then 89-year-old man came up to me with his daughter. She's about 60. He's like this. And she said, "Would you pray for my dad? He's in extreme pain. Shoulders, back. He's going to leave the service because it kept getting worse during the service. But when you mentioned healing, he just said, well, maybe God will do something. 12 years in this condition, hunched over, extreme pain." I said, "Yeah, we could pray." And I interviewed him a little bit. I said, "Well, what happened?" You know, so I was in a car accident, and I've been in this condition. He said, "I can't sit, I can't stand, nothing relieves it." I said, "Well, let's just pray and ask God." And I said, "Lord, why are you putting me in this position?" And I really believe God was trying to teach me, it's the testimony power. It's not, and nothing to do with you. Just hold on to the testimony of Jesus. And so I prayed for him, and I said, "So," and I felt something in my hand. I felt hot in my hand, just heat. It's a small, like a heating pad on my hand. I didn't want to say anything. I said, "So tell me, do you feel anything in your body?" He said, "Right where your hand's at, it's real warm." I said, "Well, that's good, because I feel that too. Maybe Jesus is healing you." So I said, "Let's pray again." So we prayed again. I didn't realize, but he was standing up straight. I didn't pay attention. I said, so how are you feeling now? And he said to me this. He said, "Well, I'm standing upright, aren't I?" I went, yeah, you are. And so I said, so how's the pain in your back or your shoulders? He said, "I told you I'm standing upright." Well, the Lord had given me a word of knowledge about it before I prayed the second time. The Lord told me that his failure to let go of the memory of the accident and the unforgiveness of the person that hit him is what's empowering the pain to remain in his back, because that's all he thinks about. And until he breaks that memory, that pain is going to remain. And I said, "You know, I don't know if this means anything to you." I said, "But I felt like the Lord just showed me that you're thinking about this all the time, and it kind of empowers the pain to be there." He goes, "Night and day." I said, "Well, we're going to pray first before God will heal you that thing's going to be broken, that memory, and you'll let go of it. You'll forgive him." We did, and of course, I'm standing upright, aren't I? So it was God be the glory. The other Sunday I was there, I wasn't preaching. I was sitting in the congregation. Great service. And the Lord gave me I just saw in my mind, it wasn't like it was floating in the air, but I saw in my mind a metal band that would fit on somebody's head. And it wasn't like I saw a Wonder Woman's band or something, but I saw a band, like a metallic band. And I said, "Lord, you just showed me this. This must be for a reason." I said, "Well, if Greg calls me to close in prayer, or, you know, say, 'Pastor Caton, do you have anything to say?' then I'll use that as a fleece that you want me to say something." Well, he closed the service, and he didn't ask me. I went, "Oh, well, okay. Well, Lord, I don't know why I felt that or saw that or sensed that." About 10 minutes later, this woman came up to me, and she said, "Would you mind praying for me?" And I said, "Sure, I'd pray for you." I said, "Wait a minute. Before I pray, though, I know this is probably going to sound crazy to you, But does a metal band that would kind of fit over the head mean anything to you at all? She said, oh yeah, I have one on right now. I said, you have a metal band on your head? She goes, yeah, it's under my wig. It's part of my chemotherapy. I have brain cancer. And I went, okay, God, this is like way beyond my ability to deal with. I said, well, look, her name is Justine. I said, Justine, I don't know, but I'm not sure why God showed me this band. I've never had that impression before, but I got a feeling He wants to heal you. So we pray. I haven't heard yet. I could tell you story after story. But the key in this morning is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. So I want you to do me a favor. Just close your eyes. Did you sing that first part of that song? Because Jesus is here.
When you walk into a room and everything changes, and darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room and every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Worship you. And we love you. And we'll never stop. We can't live without you. Jesus, we love you. And we can't get enough. And all this is for you, Jesus.
So another word of knowledge was given a couple of minutes later. It wasn't mine, it was another person. I said, I don't know, this is kind of weird, but I see a person here in church this morning that's got two faces. It's a woman, and on one side of the face, she wants to be married to her husband. On the other side, she wants to leave him. One side is content, the other one's angry. I don't know who that is, but God wants to minister to you. Well, nobody responded. So after the service, a lady grabbed hold of me. She said, can I talk to you? That was me. She said, I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end with my husband. He just will not serve the Lord. He's angry. He's bitter against the church. I want him to come, but he won't come. I don't know whether I should stay with him or I should leave. Would you pray with me? I said, sure. So I prayed with her that her husband would repent, find Jesus, come to the Lord. That was, I don't know, just a couple weeks ago. Greg called me the next Sunday, 5:30 in the afternoon after I just got home from the East Church. We were there. We didn't get home till like 5 o'clock last Sunday. And he said, can I tell you what happened? I said, yeah, tell me what happened. So remember the woman with the two faces that you prayed with? Because he came over when I was praying with her. I said, yeah. He goes, her husband was in church this morning and got gloriously saved. Isn't that crazy? So when you walk in the room, one more time, would you sing that? Thank you, Lord.
When you walk into the room, everything changes, and darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, and every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
You lift a hand up and sing, I love you, Lord.
Can't
get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
So as I was praying this morning, and I'm just going to share this, and you grab hold of it, I don't know. It could be not. I'm not going to say that this is God. I'm just saying it's what I felt. But there are people here with insomnia issues. Some have been struggling with insomnia. God wants to touch that. Terror in the night. I heard that. Terror in the night. Vertebrae alignment. Ringing ear. Migraines, Jeff. I heard about that. A car accident involving a red Toyota. Just telling you what I felt impressed with. I already told you about a person with a drug addiction that's here under the influence this morning. Digestive pain, especially when you eat. Blurred vision in both eyes. Pain down the right leg. Depression to the point of drastic action. I'm not sure what that meant. I thought it was suicide. The Lord checked me and said, no, just drastic action. All right. Muscle pain in the left. Is this the shin right here? This part here? Muscle pain in the left shin. You put weight on it. At times it just goes down. Going to pray, if that's you this morning, God will touch you. I can't do anything about it other than pray with you. Keep the testimony with you. If you believe that God can touch and heal, you want that prayer. Maybe that was you, maybe it wasn't, I don't know, but just grab hold of it. So Father, right now we pray that if there is, oh God, these conditions and others in this room, that you would bring healing to the people. Lord, you love them. You don't want your children to hurt. You don't want your children to suffer. God, we are just calling upon the testimony of Jesus. Father, that you would demonstrate your love. Demonstrate your love now, God, and heal, set free, deliver in Jesus' name. Now, one last thing, and then I'm going to ask the altar ministers to come and pray. If you're here today and you've got your chips still in front of you, in other words, you've not given your life to Jesus 100%, you know, you got to get in, man. It's all in or nothing. I think the Holy Spirit ministered to somebody when I said, put your chips in the middle of the table. And if you're here today and you're not all in with Jesus, you need to get right. You need to give your life to Christ 100%. The times we live in are uncertain, but God is a certain rock. He's a solid rock. But you can stand on Him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He loves you with all of His heart. So if that's you this morning, I want you to pray a prayer of repentance. If you're a prisoner to what you've done, or you're a captive to what others have done to you, you pray the same prayer. Father, forgive me. Father, I forgive them. And you'll be set free. So altar ministers, would you mind coming across the front? Yeah, we do, don't we? We love Jesus. Hallelujah. So if you need prayer, if you identify with one of those conditions and you think God's dealing with you, maybe you're feeling a trembling or a warmth or some kind of a physical manifestation, you know, respond to that. Say, God, by faith, I'm just going to respond. Or maybe today you need to give your life to God 100%. Holding back part of who you are to Jesus. I want you to come forward, okay? We're going to sing it one more time. Don't miss out on Thursday night. We're discovering the goodness of God, the love culture of CNC. want you to be a part of it. Bring somebody next week that one decision can change their life. And I believe God's going to really reveal through Ruth's story the power of covenant. Okay? Thank you so much. We love you guys. We're praying for you. We're privileged to be a part of this great family. Just continue. Let's keep it going. Let love abound. Let grace abound. Let the Spirit of the Lord have His liberty and freedom. Come for prayer. Would you do it? When you walk into the room, come on, sing it. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Yeah.
When you walk into the room,
live right, love everybody.
Everything
pray
changes.
Pray hard. We'll see you next time. God bless.
Darkness starts.